Yes, and the rest of it is as well. We're going to cover the rest of the chapter, but I think we can do that briefly with no problem here tonight. I want to preach to you on lifting up Jesus still today. Amen. Lifting up Jesus still today. Now, what I'm thinking about here is there's a lot of things that were done in the book of Acts that we don't do still today. So we covered some of that last week. And I'll make a couple of comments here in a moment about that. What is it that we do still today? Well, we're going to point those things out tonight. There's some things we still do. There's some things we do not still do. In verse 10, if you look there at verse 10 in Acts 19, verse 10, here the Bible says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years." That's, he was in Ephesus that long. "So that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Now, some think that's the seven churches, by the way. The churches in Asia would be the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. If you look at those churches that are there, Sardis and Thyatira and Philadelphia and Laodicea, those are the churches in this area called Asia. It's not what we call Asia today. It was Asia there in the Middle East. And if you look in the back of your Bible, you may have a map of the journeys, and if you look on the third missionary journey around Ephesus, you will see those seven cities right there. And they very well were planted and got started right here on Paul's third missionary journey. So I think that's very interesting. Ephesians is a great book of the Bible. It's a deep book of the Bible. And I think that's very appropriate because he spent more time in Ephesus, seems, than he did probably any other place on his journey. So he was really getting things established there and spent 2 years there with them. And there's more we'll be saying about that as we go along, but not tonight. Let's read now verses 11 through 20, and then we'll get into the message tonight. So we'll pick up right here. "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond," that's kind of people that wander around, move city to city. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now, in verse 16, it says that evil spirit prevailed under those fraudsters, prevailed over them. But it ends up right there saying the word of God grew and prevailed. Amen. I like it when God prevails and not the devil. Amen. So Paul was the real deal, but those other ones were not. They were false. Let's pray and then we'll move on. Father, Lord, guide and direct us. Give us liberty. Speak to our hearts. Help us and strengthen us here this evening, Lord. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I mentioned last week talking about the transitional nature of the book of Acts. The early church got started, but you know, we talked about this last week. Some men were followers of John, and Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We don't even know about a Holy Spirit." He taught them about Jesus. He laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit, and then they got baptized. And then they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, I'm talking about the transitional nature of the book of Acts. There were things that happened with the apostles that did not continue. In fact, the position of an apostle is something we don't have today. That didn't continue. That was something that was temporary that God used to get the church started at that time. Here in this chapter, the speaking in tongues, this was the third and final time that you see that. So it did not continue. You will never find a command in the Bible that tells you that you need to speak in tongues. It's just not in the Bible. God doesn't command that to us. And so I covered some of that last week, don't want to get into it right now. But apostolic miracles like we just read right there, laying on of hands for somebody to receive the Holy Spirit, healing by handkerchiefs and things of that nature, the writing down of new revelation from God, like Paul did, is something that just did not continue. It was the norm for that time, but it's not the norm for now. So we understand there is a transitional nature here to the book of Acts. So those things just didn't continue. Those 12 men that got saved in the first 10 chapters, by the way, first 10 verses of this chapter, probably I would call them Old Testament believers, because I think John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. They believed John the Baptist, so they were saved just like Abraham was, looking towards the cross. And Paul said, John preached unto you about one that would come. And then he said, hey, he's already come. You need to believe on Jesus. And when they believed on Jesus, then they got the Holy Spirit and got baptized. That's the right order. Amen? So thinking about things that did not continue, that's not going to be my focus. I want to talk about some things tonight from this chapter that have continued and will continue until Jesus comes. They'll continue, and they're still in the New Testament church today. So let's don't worry about things that didn't that were temporary. Let's don't worry about things today that God didn't intend to carry on, continually. So I want to talk tonight about lifting up Jesus still today. Some things that we see in this book that are still going on. Now, on the point of miracles, let me say this. I believe God still does miracles. I believe God still does miracles. Now, I don't really think He does it like He did in the sense of a faith healer like Paul and laying hands on somebody or wiping their brow with a handkerchief and you throw that out in the audience and whoever it touches gets healed or things like that, or takes his apron off. He was a tent maker and power in the apron, all of that. I don't think the Lord does healings like that today, but I believe He does heal. He's still God. He can still heal. And He heals, according to James 5, in answer to prayer. But not in things like this. Okay, so I don't believe in faith healers like that. Now, Jesus did miracles for basically three reasons. One was He wanted to meet the needs of individuals. Another was He wanted to teach some spiritual truths. And the third one was to prove and validate His deity, that He is the Son of God. Now, when these apostles did miracles, what were they doing? Proving and validating their message and their ministry, and mainly that God was with them in what they were doing. That was why they were doing miracles, because it validated, again, their ministry and their message and gave authenticity to it, that it was from God. Okay, so God does things different in different dispensations. When I say dispensations, that's time periods. You have pre-law, you have Adam, you have the fall, you have Noah, you have Abraham and all of that. You have Moses and the law. You have the prophets. You had John the Baptist, which was kind of in between there. I say he's the last Old Testament prophet. Then you have the time of Christ. Then you have the time of the apostles. Today, we're in the time of the church. The New Testament age of grace is what we're in now. And when the rapture comes, you're going to have a 7-year tribulation. And then after that, you're going to have a 1,000-year reign. So the Lord works in various time periods. We call them dispensations. So this one was a transitional time period moving into the New Testament church as we know it today. Okay? Now, thinking about this, what is still here for the church today? Let's answer that question and we'll pull it out of our chapter here tonight. Number one, what do we still have for today? Number one, we have God's power still today. Amen? Now, it said there, we read it there in verses 11 and 12, that mighty miracles were being done. And people were getting handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul, who worked
they were getting these things. Now, we're not told how long that went on. We're not told how much of that went on. We're just told that some of it happened. Well, let me say this. It was not a magical handkerchief. It was not a magical apron. And in fact, it was not Paul's power. It was God's power that was doing the miracles. And Paul would let them know that, by the way. It wasn't him. Peter would let folks know that it wasn't him. So there was no magic in that kind of stuff, but I don't think that type of thing is for today. Now somebody says, whoa, wait a minute. I just saw the TV preacher the other day, and he'll mail you a handkerchief that he used, and it'll heal you. Yeah, for a donation. I don't see Paul selling them. That's not something we're to keep doing today, right? That's not the point. But the power of God is still for today. But it manifests itself differently. Now, I said last week that the evidence of the Holy Spirit for them, in three cases, it was speaking in tongues and there was some prophesying. But it's not manifested that way today. The power of God's still here today. You need the power of God. You need God's power on your life to live the Christian life. You need the power of God, but it's not going to manifest itself in the same way, but it does have the same source, the Holy Spirit of God, right? Today you need the power of God to get victory over your temptations. You need the power of God to face the devil and his demons, right? You need the power of God to get victory over the world, the flesh, your own flesh, and the devil. You need the power of God for that, right? You need the power of God for you to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You need the power of God to help you shine your light for Jesus. So the power of God is here. It enables us to live the Christian life. It empowers us. Somebody gets up to sing, the choir or something like that, they need the power of God to help them. Somebody gets up before a Sunday school class or kids' church, they need the power of God to help them do that, right? Somebody gets up to preach, we need the power of God to do that. You go out this week to witness for somebody, you need the power of God to do that. It's not in and of us, we're relying on the power of God every day, right? If you're going to have any victories this week over the world, your own flesh, and the devil, you're going to be praying for the power of God, and the power, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, in your life. That's still for today. Amen? Manifested differently. I have a handkerchief here, but I'm not planning to give it to you or sell it to you and tell you it's going to heal something, right? But we will pray for you to get healed. Amen? I think that's the way it happens today, that God will help us with that, okay? Someone has said the power of God within us is greater than the pressures around us. You believe that? You got a lot of pressures coming in around you? The power of God within you is greater than the pressures around you. That's what you need the power of God for. You need the grace of God. You need the help of God that we preached about this morning. You need the power of God to help you with those things. God's strength always comes with His calling. If God lays something on your heart that He wants you to do, He's going to enable you to do it. He's going to help you do it. God lays somebody on your heart, He wants you to pray for them. He wants you to go witness to them. He'll give you the power to do it. God calls somebody to be a Sunday school teacher or preacher or whatever the case might be, He'll give the power to do it. God calls somebody to be a missionary, He'll give them the peace, the grace, the means, the open doors, and the power, the help, the strength, is what this is, the power of God. It's the help and the strength from God that we need to do the job that He called us to do, right? And in your case, it's just simply to live the Christian life. Day in and day out, you say, oh, the missionary, the evangelist, the preacher, whatever needs the power of God, you need it. You need the power of God on your life to help you live the will of God and live for Jesus. Amen? I think that's still for today. Let me give you number two. You need the power of God. That's number one. What's still for today is spiritual battles are still for today. Spiritual battles, number two, still for today. Now, we read there in verses 13 through 16 how these certain priest, Jewish priest of Judaism, had some sons. And they said, basically, hey, Paul can cast out demons. We can do that too. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do it like Paul did it, and we're going to claim the name of Jesus. So they got this demon-possessed person, and they said, we adjure you, by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. We don't know nothing about him. We don't know him. But we're going to give it a good try. We're going to give it a good go. We're exorcists. We're here to save the day, and we're here to cast the demon out of you. Using the name of Jesus in vain is what they were doing. Using the name of Jesus as a good luck charm is what they were doing. And boy, they thought they were religious. They thought they were going to get something done. They thought they were going to get some popularity. They thought they were going to get some fame. And everybody was going to lift their name up like Paul. Because, man, we just freed this guy from a demon. And the demon speaks up through the man and says, I know Jesus. Wow, that's pretty powerful right there. He said, I know Jesus. And he did. He does. He knew Jesus. He said, I know Paul. Now, I'm told that the word know in the Greek is two different words there, and it's a real intimate knowledge of Jesus. He knows Jesus, but he also is saying, oh, I know about that Paul. I know about him, too. He said, but who are you? He called them out as frauds, the demon did. When Jesus rebuked demons and told them to get out, you know what they did? They got out. When Peter and Paul told demons to get out in the name of Jesus, they got out. Why? The power of God was there. But what I'm talking about right now is the spiritual battle was there. It's still there today. We still deal with the devil today. But this demon called them out and said, I don't know who you are. And that man, demons are nothing to play with. The devil's nothing to play with. That man, under supernatural power, whooped, what did it say, seven of them? He whooped them, and they went running out of town, out of the house, naked and wounded. He ripped them up pretty good. I don't want to get into it, but I've heard about stories about this, even in our modern times, of demon-possessed people having supernatural power, and they can throw people around. Preachers, whoever it is that's having to deal with them. It's nothing to play with. But here's what I'm saying. Spiritual battles are still for today because the devil ain't gone nowhere. The devil hadn't gone anywhere. Demons. Now, I dare say, I was reading this. In fact, I was reading by Charles Spurgeon today on this subject. And he said, now, I don't know if this is true for him, but he said, you and me, I'm paraphrasing, you and me are not that important that we probably never done business with the devil himself. But he sure does have a whole lot of demons in his force. And they're going to do his bidding for him. It's an army. It's a spiritual army. And I'd say Charles Spurgeon was so great and mightily used, he probably did have some battles with the devil himself. You know, he had a lot of depression in his life. He was mightily used to God, but there were times whenever he was in the bed, he couldn't get out, he couldn't go. He had severe gout, he had depression, he had problems. But you know what? He prevailed in that because he wrote one of the best commentaries on the book of Psalms from that sick bed over a period of years. He got victory. Amen. But I'm just saying spiritual battles are a real thing. The devil, folks, he loves to be behind the scenes. He loves for people to think he's just a symbol of evil. He loves for people to think it's just a little red costume with some horns and a pitchfork and a tail. If that's what you think of the devil, and it's just a symbol of evil, then he's got you right where he wants you. If you don't believe that he is a real person that was kicked out of heaven, that went before God, and God said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been walking to and fro down there on the earth, doing what I want to do. I'm free down there to do anything. And the Bible says he is the God of this earth. And he said, I've been down there walking around doing whatever I want to do. And that's when God said, have you considered my servant Job? Folks, that's a real thing that happened. And God put a leash on him even then and told him what he could and could not do. People get upset about that and saying God shouldn't have let, the devil do that. I want to tell you something. God let the devil do that. But God, he prevailed in that. He loved Job, and he planned always, after the devil took his property, God always planned to give it back and give it even more, and to give him even more children. And for you and I to be talking about Job tonight, to the chagrin of the devil, Job got the victory, amen? And God gets the victory over that, right? But that battle, now none of us, we don't want God to say, hey, have you considered I got a few of them down there in Snow Hill. They go to Liberty Baptist Church. Have you considered them? We want to go try them out. We don't want the devil to do that. But we do know it can be a real thing. We don't want God to say, hey, devil, go consider them. Now, the Bible says the Lord considers us, but I want to tell you something. The devil, he's not considerate of anything. The only thing he considers is how to destroy you. He was destroying a man right here, and then some spiritual fraud said, yeah, hey, we'll do something about this and get famous. And the demon called him out. I'm just saying, folks, we're still dealing with spiritual battles today. You're dealing with it in your marriage. You're dealing with it in your life. You're dealing with it in your prayer life. You're dealing with it in your spiritual life. You're dealing with it in temptation. The devil's just out to destroy all Christians and churches that he can. Spiritual battles are here today is what I'm trying to say. You see it right there. Paul dealt with it. The early church dealt with it. Ephesus had it going on there in their lives. And I'm saying we deal with it as well. And that's why the apostles wrote so much about it, because they knew he was something to deal with. That's why Peter said, and Peter definitely knew, because Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And then he's the one later said he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He knew. Paul wrote about it in Ephesians 6 and talked about you need the full armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles and the tricks of the devil. They knew. They knew it was real. Folks, you and I need to realize there is spiritual things going on today. There's spiritual battles going on today. This country of ours is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse all the time. There's a devil behind it. You say, our young people are doing this, and the young generations are doing this. There's the devil that's bringing all that in. Music and media, don't be deceived. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to push your buttons too, doesn't he? He knows how to get at you. We just need to know and understand it's a real thing to steal for today. God's power, we need it today. Spiritual battles, they're still here today. Someone has said spiritual victories only come to those who are prepared for the battle. Ephesians 6 and the armor, right? Spiritual victories only come to those who are prepared for the battle. Well, you're going to get in the battle. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Spiritual battles are still here today, right? Y'all agree with that? You know that's the truth, right? You know you've dealt with it. So we still have God's power. Amen. Thank God. We still have spiritual battles. Let me say this. Number three, we still have the opportunity to lift up Jesus' name. We still have the opportunity to lift up Jesus' name. Now, what did it say happened there? I've already read it, but what did it say happened there? Those people lifted up the name of Jesus. But they used his name in vain. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. And the demon ran them out of town. Verse 17, though, says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It backfired on what they were trying to do. And people realized, you know what? Paul is preaching Jesus. And it's real. They saw there is a real devil. There are real demons. There are real spiritual battles. And they mentioned Paul. And that demon said, I don't know who y'all are, but I know Jesus and I know Paul. And the Bible says a result of that was the name of Jesus was magnified. We can still lift up Jesus today. We can still magnify his name. Now, I just preached a little bit there on the devil. But you know what? I don't want to give him no props about anything. I don't want to promote him. I don't want to lift him up. The Lord's going to put him down permanently one day. But what we do need to do is make much of Jesus. Amen. Lift Jesus up. And even when the devil thinks he's winning something, the Lord prevails. The devil might have prevailed over those frauds, but Jesus prevailed over the whole thing. We have the opportunity still today to lift up the name of Jesus. Are we doing that? Make much of Jesus is what we need to do. In the end of all this, every knee's going to bow and confess Jesus. Amen. He's Lord. But you and I have the opportunity to do that right now today. We can lift up the name of Jesus today. It is our job to honor the Lord, not to use his name in vain, but to call upon his name and lift up his name and tell people about the Savior, the Son of God. The devil's going to get mad when you do it, because that number two is still there, spiritual battles. But number three, I said, we can still today lift up the name of Jesus. When you sing in here, you're doing it. When Brother Ron was walking across the parking lot coming to church this morning, I heard him out there singing. He was doing it. Wasn't doing a real good job, but he was doing it. No, I'm kidding. He was making a joyful noise, amen. I heard him coming across there. But you know what? You go out there and you might hum a hymn. You might, wherever you're at church or work or wherever you are, you lift up the name of Jesus every chance you get, because other people are putting it down every chance they get, right? You lift it up every time you give out a gospel tract, every time you tell somebody you're praying for them, you're lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what we can still do today. That's what still happens today, what we ought to do today. So what's still for today? Well, God's power is. Spiritual battles, that's still for today. Lifting up Jesus is still for today. Number four, change lives by the Lord is still for today. Now, we read there in verses 18 through 20. Many that believed came, and what they do? They believed, they confessed, and they showed their deeds. All right? Their lives were changed. That's why they were showing their deeds. They believed, they confessed sin, and they showed their deeds. Matthew 5:16. How do you let your light so shine? Your good works. Those good works that the Lord is doing in your heart and life, it's shining for Jesus, right? It's lifting up His name. Because He changed your life. You know the best testimony we have today is a changed life. Somebody that can say, the Lord has worked in my life and changed my life. Somebody that can say, Jesus forgave my sin and got me out of the miry clay. Amen. He got me out of a life of sin. He brought me into a new life in Jesus Christ. That's the picture of baptism. But it's not just a picture in the baptistry, folks. It's a picture in our daily life. Dead and buried to that old life of sin, raised up to a new life in the power of the Lord. The devil's going to come, he's going to fight you, but you can get some victories, and you can show by that God has changed your life. Not living in sin anymore. Now, what did it say they did here? Now, that's an interesting little story there. In verse 19, they that were involved in curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. Now, and it was valuable, it says. It was very, very valuable. Now, these books, it's an interesting thing here. I think these are books, again, on idolatry and witchcraft. The devil was still... Ephesus is a stronghold. Now, I'm only going to paraphrase the last part of the chapter. You can read it for yourself. But the temple to Diana, the goddess of Diana, was a big deal. And there was all kind of idols to the goddess of Diana. There was all kind of idolatry there in Ephesus. But these people are taking their witchcraft stuff, They're curious arts. Some people even think the word curious arts in the Greek has to do with something about busybodies. And some people even think that it might have been little blackmail books that they had on all the... They were keeping notes on some folks in town. And they had the little blackmail books. But you know what? They got right with God. They confessed their sins. They threw it in the fire and said, I'm done with that life. Changed life. Right? They threw it in the fire. They destroyed it. Now, you say, well, if it was that valuable, why not sell it? They said, we don't want this kind of material getting in the hands of other folks. We don't want to make any money on this. We want to have a total separation from sin in our lives. That's what they were doing. So they took this stuff, and it might have been valuable, and they burned this stuff. I've seen that happen before. I got a story I want to tell. I shouldn't tell it. Shouldn't tell it, right, Maria? I shouldn't tell it. No, she don't want me to tell that story. But she said, no, don't tell that story. But that time when she threw some records in the fire at our church that her parents didn't know she got a hold of, and don't tell that story, right? And I already brought it up. What am I going to do? But I've told it before. But anyway, yeah, we had a burning at the church one time, and bring all your rock bring your rock tapes, bring your rock albums, bring it, throw it in the fire, and get rid of it, get it out of your life. That was the point. That's what we were doing. Getting rid of all that, separating your... Why? Your life has changed. You don't need it anymore. Oh, hey, that stuff's valuable. I could have sold that. No. Just destroy it. Nobody else needs it either. Amen. And you don't need to make money off of it to go corrupt and ruin them. Just get it out of your life and everybody else's life you can get it out of, right? That's the idea of what they were doing here. It's their past life, their sin, their worldliness, the hindrances. Hebrews 12 talks about laying aside those besetting sins, those weights, so that we can run the race. Get it out of your life. Why? You've got to change life. You're living the Christian life now, right? You don't live that stuff anymore. That's still for today. Change lives. Amen? The power of God. Spiritual battles. It's still for us here today. Lifting up the name of Jesus. His name was glorified. His name was magnified. Change lives. That's still for today. Let me give you number 5. The confusion of religion. Now, let me just paraphrase the rest of the chapter. You read it later. All right? It's a story here. I'm just going to paraphrase it. The confusion of religion. Now, here's what happened. Some silversmiths who made idols got upset. And one of these guys got a bunch of his people together and said, you know what? We're going to lose a lot of business because of this guy, Paul. And these people are running to him, and they're not going to be buying our idols anymore for the temple, the goddess of Diana. And the Bible says in this chapter, he stirred up the whole town. Everybody ended up going to the town hall area there. The Bible says it got such an uproar, it almost became a riot. And it says here, y'all read it later, I ain't got time right now, but it says some people showed up, boy, they were all into the thing, and they didn't even know why they were there or what was going on. That's the way a mob and a riot works, right? I don't know what's going on, but man, it's big. Finally, an official stood up, calmed the crowd down, and you know what he said? Hey, look. Y'all know we're a province of Rome, and you're going to get Rome stirred up. They're going to come down here. We're going to have to answer for this. We're all going to get in trouble, and he dispersed the crowd. Paul wanted to go in there, and some people told Paul, no, don't do it. Just don't do it. Just stay out of it. They're going to, why? Because they were grabbing some Christians and blaming them for the whole thing, and they told Paul to stay out of it. But what I'm getting at is there was the confusion of religion. You know, we still have this today. People getting angry because you're preaching Jesus, and they don't know what it's all about, but they're real religious, but they're mad at you and your Christianity and your faith and your beliefs and your church, and you're not going along with them. You're a Bible thumper and all this kind of stuff. The Bible says they got upset there, by the way, and they started crying out to the God of Diana, the goddess of Diana, for like 2 hours. Read it later. I mean, that went on. Until they finally were able to disperse the crowd. But I'm saying there was a lot of religious confusion. And the devil got mad about these people getting saved. The devil got mad about Jesus' name being lifted up. And the spiritual battle was ongoing through religion. And these people saying, hey, we're worshipers of Diana too, but you know what? Worship or not, this is our business. And if we can't keep making idols for people and selling these idols, you know, that's going to hurt us. We need to get this guy, Paul, out of town. And it was money talks, right? And that's what was going on there. That's what was happening. Confusion gripped the city. You know, confusion has gripped the world today in the area of religion today. A lot of people are confused about religion today. A lot of people are passionate about religion today. A lot of people are violent about religion today, right? In the name of God. We see all this stuff going on, and it's a great confusion. Guess who's behind it? Hadn't the devil already showed up in this passage, in this chapter? Hadn't already talked about the spiritual battle that's going on? You know, the devil, the Bible says he's the god of this world, and he blinds the minds of men. Right? He blinds the minds of men. The devil was very angry. Now, verse 20, though, look what happened. And mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. Now, everything I just described happened after that. But you couldn't take that part away right there. That right there wasn't going anywhere. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Jesus' name was magnified, the word of God prevailed. No wonder the devil was mad. No wonder almost a riot stirred up in Ephesus. You know those two things right there, folks, the name of Jesus and the Word of God, those are two of the main elements of our Christianity, isn't it? The name of Jesus, our Savior, and the Word of God. And John said Jesus is the Word. Well, we could go with that right there for a while, amen? The name of Jesus and the Word of God, magnified and prevailed, we're on the winning side, amen? Hey, there's people on the broad road, they're religious, they're sincere, but they're blinded by the devil, and they're very confused, and they're very sincere and very passionate, but they're sincerely wrong because they don't have the truth. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on. But what I'm saying, folks, is we may not be giving out powerful handkerchiefs today, but all this other stuff's still going on. We may not, and we are not, laying hands on people so they can receive the Holy Ghost, but we're praying for them to receive Jesus, and that's how they get the Holy Ghost, right? These are things that are still going on today in the New Testament church. So some of this stuff was transitional. But my overall point tonight, lifting up Jesus still today. Lifting up Jesus still today. Folks, I think we can do all of this still today. Paul got the gospel to Ephesus. He got people mad. He got people stirred up. He got kicked out of the synagogue. He found another place to preach. The devil got involved. Religion got involved. Confusion got involved. But nevertheless, Jesus was lifted up and the Word of God prevailed. Folks, do you know of any towns that need Jesus today and need the gospel? Our town needs it. Don't you believe that? Every town needs the gospel. Every town needs a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Amen. Every town needs the Word of God. Every town needs the name of Jesus magnified and lifted up. And we can still do that today. Aren't you glad we're that's our job. We're involved in still doing that today. Oh, I think we ought to speak in tongues. No, that's not for today, but the power of God is. I think we ought to be laying hands and selling handkerchiefs. No, that's not it. That was for then. But the spiritual battle's still here. These things that we talked about here tonight still there. Change lives, revivals, lifting up Jesus still today, that's still here. And Jesus said in John 12, "And if I be lifted up from the earth," talking about being put on that cross, "will draw all men unto me." We lift up Jesus today. We lift up the gospel today. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ every chance we get. Now, when you do that, the old devil's going to rise up too. You get the gospel to somebody. You get a gospel tract in somebody's hands. You get a church praying for people. You're going to find out the spiritual battle's still here. But you're also going to find out the Word of God in the name of Jesus prevails. When you magnify the name of Jesus and preach the Word of God and give out the gospel, that prevails. That's still for today. Amen? Don't worry about some of these things that passed off the scene with the apostles. I believe the apostles were temporary. I believe some things passed off the scenes with the apostles. But I'm talking tonight about things that have not passed off the scene until Jesus comes, right? These are still for today, today's church. And the main one is, lift Jesus up. Dr. Jack Hudson, you know, he was at Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, great ministry back in the 70s, big church. He was known for that statement, "Make much of Jesus and he'll make much of you." He said it all the time. He said, "I want my church to make much of Jesus and Jesus will make much of us." Hey, we're not here to make much of ourselves, but that there was a principle there where the Lord talked about in Matthew 6 there, pray in private, and I'll openly reward you for it, right? Reward you in open. That's the idea, folks. It's not about lifting up our name. It's not about making a name for us. One other church I've told you before, that they always say, we just tell people how to get to heaven, and then God can tell people how to get to our church. Why? You're making much of Jesus, right? It's not all about, we get caught up in church growth and marketing and all that. Hey, we got to do some of that, no doubt about it. But the main thing we're here to do, lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. That's still for today. That wasn't temporary. That's forever, by the way. Amen? We'll always be doing that. Even in heaven, we'll be praising and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's do these things. Let's continue as a church and as individuals to realize the power of God's here. Spiritual battles are still here. Lifting up Jesus is still here. God changing lives is still here. But the confusion of religion is still here too. But the Lord will prevail. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight as we think about this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight.